Today on Maranatha Radio, Pastor Ray Bentley says even Solomon knew of the joy to be found in loving our spouses.
Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which he has given to you under the sun. For this is your reward in life and in your toil in which you have labored under the sun. God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. How can we love our spouse more, much more? Well, good question. And today, Pastor Ray gives us a great answer. We'll see that by loving God more, we'll love our spouse more. And Pastor Ray highlights four practical principles in that regard. Let's listen now as Pastor Ray begins our study.
Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Paul is wanting for us to realize, as he really goes toward now a mystery, he says, I'm talking about marriage. I'm talking to you wives and how you are to love your husbands and husbands to love your wives. But in the end of this passage we'll see this morning, he says, really, I am speaking to you secret and sacred, mysterious things, because I'm really talking about Christ and the church. And look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, Christ is our example. Now, how did this love story begin? By the way, the Bible is a love story. It's a very passionate, romantic story. Every fairy tale that's ever been written borrows from this story. And you have this beautiful, attractive, desirable bride who has been stolen, who has been taken advantage of, who has in some ways been imprisoned. And so the enemy of the church has done this in this world. And you have the prince, tall, dashing, charming, handsome, passionate, romantic, and in love, who is so moved that he will forego his kingdom to travel and to invade enemy territory, to fight the deceiver and the false lover, defeat him, destroy him, capture the bride, rescue her, and bring her back to her rightful place. And how did he do this? By this beautiful word called incarnation. God so loved the world that he became a man. He incarnated into human flesh. He literally, in the most tangible, concrete, and raw way, entered into this world by entering into the human experience, into a human body, both physically and emotionally. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. May I say to all of the husbands then here, if Christ is your example, then if you can capture a little bit of what I'm saying, when you are married, what you are doing is you are entering completely into the world of another, not your own world. As it were, you are leaving yourself. You are laying your life down, or as it were, behind, and you are entering totally into the life, the world, the dreams, the desires, the aspirations, the hopes of another person. And I think it's a wonderful and a marvelous thing. What Paul tells us here in verse 25, and again, as I read it to you, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And I have it here in your notes as this: true love is sacrificial. True love. There are other kinds of love, but true love is sacrificial. So, if a husband is to love his wife in true love, it is to be a self-sacrificing kind of love. The problem is you can't give that which you do not have. Now let's look at Jesus, the original husband, bridegroom. Where did he get, as it were, that fire, that passion, that love that was like fire burning within his heart that was so powerful it compelled him by love to leave the perfection and the glory of his Father and the angels in heaven and come into this pit, this mud pit of darkness? And he knew what would happen to him when he came. He knew how he would be treated. He knew how he would be rejected. He knew what we would do to him. It had already been foretold. You see, Jesus didn't just begin at the birth in Bethlehem. He eternally existed as the Son. He has no beginning of days. He is eternal. And therefore, he had an eternal relationship of love already with his Father. And if you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, one of the things that will strike you, and I think if we could have gone back 2,000 years ago and hung out with Jesus for just even 1 week of his life, one of the things as we gathered together and said, now, what did you notice about Jesus? I think one of the first things, maybe the first thing that we'd all talk about is, wow, did you see the intensity of his love for his Father in heaven? He's always talking about his Father, how much he loves his Father. He's always getting up, leaving us, going away to a place, talking to his Father. It's as if he can't get enough of his Father. And everything he says to us, I am telling you what I heard from my Father. I'm passing on to you what my Father gave me. Now, of course, Jesus was giving to us an example. In other words, Jesus received from the Father so much love and that relationship that they had, that it gave him the strength then to come and to lay down his life, making the application now to you and I. I fear that there are many men who are themselves empty. They have really very little to give. We all carry our own wounds and brokenness. And in particular, if you have no spiritual part of your life, you're just in the world and you are imitating a pattern that was inherited kind of second, third hand from Christianity. Okay, I married, I made this commitment, but I don't even know really what it means or how to keep it. I have my own needs. And maybe even look at a spouse as, you're going to meet my needs. And it fails. So what about a Christian man? A Christian man is a man who, he doesn't just sacrifice his life out of nothing. He has to have something out of which to give, something that motivates him, that fulfills him. And here's what I'm saying. I believe that even as Jesus reached with one hand to his Father in heaven, and with the other hand, he reached down to humanity, and there you have the cross. And he brought, with one hand with the Father and one hand with humanity, he brought the world together at the cross. That's why the cross is so powerful. But he also gave us an example as husbands. And the example is, the first and the best thing that a Christian husband can do is to fall madly and passionately in love with God, because God will fill you up. And there are a lot of guys that don't know that. They think, oh, I'm going to love my wife and try to have the perfect family, and then at some point I'll get to my spiritual life. You're going about it backwards, and you will fail. It doesn't work that way. You weren't designed that way. You have to start with first things first. First, reach up with your hand to the Father. Develop a daily relationship with him through prayer. Then, when you begin to be filled, personally, as a Christian man, now you have something to give. Now you have strength wherewith you can lay down your life for your wife. And it is a wonderful and a beautiful thing. Your needs are now, as it were, being met by your Father, so now you can begin ministering to her needs. Christ gave himself for the church, and so the husband in love gives himself for his wife. Now look with me in verses 26 and 27. Here's what it says, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Now I don't know if you've ever thought of this, O Christian man. But God has called you, a part of your reason for existence is to make your wife holy. Now, when I say holy, you might be thinking in churchy, religious terms. Oh, that means that I need to support my wife going to a lot of church outings and meetings and things like that. That's not what it's talking about. The word holy means to be like God. In other words, if as a husband, my commission, my privilege, my responsibility is that my wife would feel and know and live and act like the most beloved creature on the planet Earth by God and by me. That's holiness. Now, how do you do that? That's the challenge. And so I've given here four words to try to make it practical as I can. Number one, attention. The very first sign that you knew you were falling in love is when you noticed somebody was paying attention to you. And the first sign that you knew you were falling in love is when you began to pay attention to someone else. You know, when we're little babies, who do we pay attention to? Ourselves. I mean, babies by nature are very selfish. They need, they want. That's a sign of their babiness and immaturity. But you grow up, and the idea is that eventually you start forgetting about yourself, and all of a sudden you realize there are other human beings, and then in particular, the opposite sex, as you begin to fall and to fall in love. Do you remember when you first fell in love, how much attention you paid with phone calls and with cards and maybe flowers and expressing your heart with words? And I've told this story from time to time, but I will tell it again about how attention caught my eye with my wife. It was in church. And so you know how at the end of the service, there's the last song. And so they were singing the last song, and all of a sudden, this vision of pure loveliness stands up on the side. And she was down in the front. I was sitting way, way in the back. She stands up over here, and she walks down. It was kind of a long, narrow theater, and she walked down the whole thing. And so all of a sudden, I was smitten. I mean, I was like, they let an angel come into the service here. Look at this. And at that moment, the best way I can describe it is everything went into slow motion. And her hair was light and fluffy, and her eyes were big, and whoo, man, I was transformed. But she laughed, and so, you know, then they say, okay, bye, and there's hundreds of people, and you're kind of trying to get through. Where did she go? So I went around the corner, and they had a bookstore in the corner. I looked inside the bookstore just as I was ready to go around the corner, and I saw there she was. She was in the bookstore, working in the bookstore. That's why she'd gotten up early to leave. All of a sudden, I needed books, so I walked in. But I was too nervous. I mean, I was a young little whippersnapper, still whipping and snapping. I was too embarrassed and too shy to go up and say hi or introduce myself or anything like that. So I just walked in and stared, which is like, that's weird. That's not good, you know, just,
oh, wow.
I mean, that's not good. Don't do that, guys. That's weird. I never said anything. And so then that weekend, I was leaving, you know, after that weekend, I was leaving to go to Bible school. And I was like, oh, I'll never see her again. I blew it. So then we go up to Bible school, and lo and behold, there are five students from what was then Calvary Chapel of North Park going to Bible school, and one of the five was Vicky. It was her. I was like, yes, there's a God in heaven. Oh, you are awesome, Lord. Good job. So I came up with a plan. I had an idea. We need to get the, you know, because I wanted to get to know her. There's still all these Bible college students. How am I going to get to know her? So I came up with a plan, and I thought, you know, we ought to get the five of us from the home church way down in San Diego and get together regularly and pray for the home church. So then we would come and we would meet sometimes before school in the sanctuary, sometimes outside. It was up in Twin Peaks, a beautiful area. And I kept moving it around. And then little by little, I stopped inviting the others or telling them where we were going. So eventually it was just Vicky. And she, you know, she would say, well, where is everybody? I said, I don't know. They're not that spiritual. But anyway, let's, you know, pray, get to know each other. So But the idea is, you know, paying attention. Now we've been married 27 years and you're still, you know, say, yes, I want to pay attention. And I think in little things like, you know, opening doors and closing doors. I know it's a little thing, but it is a good thing. And, you know, sometimes you say, well, I do still open the door and close the door. Yeah, but when you close the door, maybe her leg's not all the way in. You're not paying attention like you used to. So, okay, anyway, secondly, appreciation. The quickest way to put spark back into your marriage is to start affirming, appreciating, admiring your mate with words. Doesn't Jesus do that? He lets us know how he feels about us. I love you. Let me tell you how I feel about you. And that's what the whole gospel is. It's this love letter of how God feels about us. That's why we keep teaching the Bible, because there's nothing that feels better than to know and be reminded constantly of the grace and the mercy and the love and the long-suffering and the goodness of God. So, we ought to do that, like Christ, with words of appreciation. What does that mean, appreciation? Very simply, appreciation means goes up in value. You want to appreciate your wife? What does Jesus do with us? He builds us up. That's what the word edify means. He builds us up with his words. So, husbands, build your wives up. Thirdly, affection. Have you noticed that you can always tell the newly married couples and who they are? They can't keep their hands off of one another. Affection. I think that Jesus was very affectionate. There's something biblical in the Gospels about even so often praying for people. It's don't just, you know, pray for them with your hands behind your back. Lay your hands upon them, touch them, and heal them. Jesus touched thousands and thousands of people. And I don't remember, I don't have the article here, but I've even read that there is something healing about physical touch. Probably many of you know that babies will die for lack of human touch. We've been involved with orphanages in Romania. And again, part of the leftovers of that atheistic, godless, oppressive place, they would have these orphanages, and sometimes they would take babies that had been abandoned. Maybe they had some physical disability and the parents didn't want them or whatever. They end up in this orphanage. And the nurses there would wrap them up, not all of them, but in some places, and just leave them and never pick them up, never touch them, never kiss them, never hold them, never speak in a endearing way to them. And the babies die. They die from lack of touch. I believe that it's possible that a marriage can die for lack of touch. Jesus said, if you want to heal people, let them call for the elders of the church with the anointing of oil and the laying on of hands. There's something powerful about that affection. By the way, UCLA did a study, and they found out, ladies, that if you will hug your husband 3 times a day, you will increase his lifespan up to 3 years. Now, some of you are saying, tough luck, hubby. Guys, try to get your 3 hugs in a day. And then also adventure. Ecclesiastes 9:9 is in your notes. Let's read this out loud. Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which he has given to you under the sun. For this is your reward in life and in your toil in which you have labored under the sun. Enjoy life with the woman whom you love. God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Matthew 11:19, the Phillips translation, Jesus came enjoying life. I think that we would probably all agree the most enjoyable things in life are relationships, our family, husbands, wives, children, and the value of those things. And I must say that I think there should be a sense of adventure in it, at least once in a while. Predictability can kill a relationship or a marriage. One thing I've noticed about Jesus, he's quite adventurous. He's constantly changing things. Heaven is not, I guarantee you, going to be boring. It is going to be thrilling and exciting ever-changing, on, for eternity. We are creatures of habit. We're like sheep. We get into ruts. And it's healthy to change the routine once in a while, break it up. I think that the Lord, part of what he wants for us is to enjoy life and to make the marriage enjoyable and the life enjoyable and so forth. So let's close. Back to verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. I think it's interesting that the Bible does not endorse as spiritual some kind of self-loathing. There are some people that think that's humility, as to, oh, I don't like myself. I really, you know, I'm nothing. And they put themselves down. No, God made you. You know, now the extreme opposite of that is narcissism, where you're in love with yourself. And obviously that's wrong. But here Paul says that a dose of self-love is normal. It's healthy. You take care of yourself. If you love yourself, you eat properly, you get rest, and you, you know, you do things that are going to take care of yourself. Treat your wife as an extension then of yourself in a healthy way. So in many ways, your wife can become then a mirror of how healthy you really are. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is what God has designed. It's all a picture of our eternal future. And by the way, when the Lord comes for his church, the first thing that will happen is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're invited to a wedding. That's how eternity is going to begin for us. And then we will share with Christ and his kingdom, world without end. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with practical encouragement today about loving our spouses by drawing on the love God has for us. Glad you've joined us today here on Maranatha Radio. And if you'd like a permanent copy of today's message, contact us and mention the title, The Mystery of Marriage, Part 2. It's available on CD for just $7. Again, the title, The Mystery of Marriage, Part 2. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Ephesians on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. And I recently read a review, and it said the book leaves you wanting more. This person spoke of how captivating it is to go behind the scenes in biblical prophecy. They said they were stunned.
You know, that was my personal experience. You know, after studying the Bible and knowing generally about prophecy for many years, God began to open up whole new layers of understanding of the past, of the biblical feasts, and of their relevance to the church today. And I was on fire, excited. I couldn't wait to write the book. And it's really exciting to see people reading it and seeing what I've seen, learning what I learned, and then getting on fire. And that's why I can't wait for people to read it and to learn these new things. I think it's going to really change their perspective and open their eyes in some ways they can't even imagine.
And this will reveal what we see reported in the news every day in a whole new light, won't it?
It will. I think that it puts an exclamation point on the things that we keep getting jolted by as we watch what's happening. These are the very signs and patterns that Jesus said are indications the kingdom is on its way.
All right. We'll find out more in Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order it online at maranatharadio.com.
Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Ephesians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world.
Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.